The Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society Podcast.
Welcome to the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society, a podcast dedicated to suspense, crime, and horror stories from the golden age of radio. I'm Eric.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Joshua.
We love mysterious old-time radio stories, but do they stand the test of time? That's what we're here to find out.
Today, we return to the listener library for a suggestion from a mysterious family of listeners. Tom and Barb, along with their daughter Christy and son-in-law Jeff, are all generous supporters of the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society. And as a thank you, we invited them to choose this week's episode.
Our mysterious family selected The Black Tie Affair from a series we have yet to discuss on the podcast, Bold Venture.
Bold Venture was a syndicated radio series from 1951 starring husband and wife Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Set in Havana, this program followed the Caribbean adventures of hotel owner Slate Shannon and his sultry sidekick, Sailor Duvall. Writers Morton Fine and David Friedkin, the team behind Broadway's My Beat and crime classics, provided the scripts for the series, combining elements of mystery, romance, and intrigue with a focus on sharp dialogue and action.
Every episode of the program featured calypso singer King Moses, played by composer, songwriter, arranger, choral conductor, and actor Jester Hairston. The songs performed by Hairston often included crucial plot points, allowing Fine and Friedkin to take expositional shortcuts when transitioning from scene to scene. In addition to his work on radio, Hairston composed, arranged, and conducted for film, most notably his original song Amen, which he performed for the Sidney Poitier film Lilies of the Field. As an actor, he appeared in a truly eclectic array of films, including bit parts in several early Tarzan films, To Kill a Mockingbird, In the Heat of the Night, Lady Sings the Blues, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, and Being John Malkovich.
Bold Venture intentionally evoked To Have and Have Not, banking on listeners' fondness for Bogart and Bacall's first film together. Hemingway's novel took place in Cuba, but the film was forced to change the setting to Martinique due to the negative portrayal of the Cuban government, which the studio feared was in violation of United States foreign policy at the time. Ironically, Bold Venture was finally able to bring Bogart and Bacall to their original destination, Havana.
Despite their iconic status in Hollywood, Bogart and Bacall only made four films together, To Have and Have Not, The Big Sleep, Dark Passage, and Key Largo, adding up to a scant 7 hours. In contrast, they made 78 episodes of Bold Venture, 57 of which are known to exist today. At 25 minutes per episode, that's roughly 24 hours of additional Bogart and Bacall goodness. Sometimes it pays to be an old radio fan.
And now let's listen to The Black Tie Affair from Bold Venture, first broadcast September 17th, 1951.
It's late at night, and a chill has set in. You're alone, and the only light you see is coming from an antique radio. Listen to the sounds coming from the speaker. Listen to the music, and listen to the voices.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Mr. Mr. Slate, he hold he head in he hand. Don't care to make jolly on the sea or land. Invitation to party on big steamship. Give him pain size 10, make he quiver he lip. But the lady sailor, she all aglow. To formal dress party, she yearn to go. To wear flower in hair and her beauty so clear. She'll convince Mr. Slate, even drag him by ear.
You want to lay me odds, King?
When a woman gets a chance to be radiant in the moonlight, Mr. Slate, is nothing and no one going to stop her?
I'm not going on that boat. Sailor can be radiant all by herself. I'll stand on the shore and watch her go on and off.
There will be many handsome fellows aboard to observe same from cheek to cheek.
Oh, there you are, sailor. Where have you been?
Where do you think? Renting you a monkey suit, complete with white tie and shirt to match. It wasn't easy. You're a size 42 monkey.
42? I'm a size 38.
Dreamer. Here, take a look at it.
Oh, go get the deposit back, sailor. I'm not going.
Look, dear boy, twice a year the SS Huron docks at Havana, throws a big formal shipboard party. Twice a year the captain sends us an engraved invitation.
And twice a year I raffle it off. What are you trying to do, deprive me of pocket money?
This time we're going.
Not me, not in that suit.
If King has to strap you into it and I carry you slung over my shoulder. Look at it. Think how slim you look in it.
Hmm. You think so, huh?
Emilio, the tuxedo renter, swore it.
You think I look sharp in it, huh?
What else? You should have seen what it did for the dummy in the window.
Can't you turn this faucet off, Gomez?
I've tried, senor, for so many years. Every time I come to Havana and stay in this room, I exert myself against the faucet. But nada, still it drip.
It annoys me, like so many things. This room,
I've explained. Emilio lets me sleep in his room at the back of his clothes-rending shop for free when I come from the boat.
Where's your friend Emilio now?
Quien sabe? Who knows, senor? He will not return, perhaps, for hours.
Well, he ought to do something about that faucet. Gomez.
It is no use, Senor Martin. I have changed the mind. I will not tell you.
But it's so easy. Your being purser on the Huron makes it a simple matter.
Simple, however dishonorable. I will explain. After I put the safe combination of the boat on a piece of paper, at my shoulder became my conscience.
Gomez.
Senor, why are you doing this thing of a gun to me?
Where's the paper?
Senor, you're a loco.
Where is it?
In front. In the shop. I place it there in a dummy's coat while my conscience and me were at battle one against the other. Senor!
Think how lucky you are, Gomez. You'll never be able to hear that faucet again. Let's go, Amy.
Did you get it?
It's in the store in the coat pocket on a dummy.
What happened?
He's dead.
Oh, I'll bet no two school teachers had a more exciting Caribbean cruise. I like it. Well, this shop looks like it had one customer a year. John, there's no dummy in here.
One over there in the window. There's no coat on it. It's bare. I should have beat it out of him. I should have dragged him down here.
Well, maybe the coat was rented.
All right, let's try it that way. Now, to whom?
Wait a minute. Here's a book here, a ledger. John, look.
To Sailor Duval, address Shannon's place. Mm. Rented, one formal attire. Come on, Amy, we'll get that coat if we have to tear it off someone's dead body.
You ready, Slate?
Be with you in a minute.
You've been posing in front of that mirror for a half hour now. Believe me, kid, there's no more you can do. Not with your material.
Ah, you look beautiful, sailor. I wish I was as pretty as you.
I bet you say that to all.
No, I mean it. You're beautiful. Takes my breath. Come here.
Oh, aren't they lovely together, John? Just like the couple on the billboards advertising Havana.
Would you think two mousy schoolteachers like us could ever be so uninhibited, Amy?
Work it out together, kids. Be with you in a minute. Now, bend me back a little, Slate, so we live up to the publicity.
Slate? Oh, then you would be Mr. Slate Shannon. Just the man Amy and I have been looking for.
Oh, and such a man. Well, I tilt my bifocals a wee bit, and Oh, he's such a man.
Amy, a tropical cruise really makes you shed, doesn't it?
Pay no attention to him, Mr. Shannon. John's in manual training. I'm in civics. Two lonely schoolteachers on a romp. Takes John longer to forget.
And you've heard Shannon's place is where you do that. But we'll have to separate you. You in the girls' dorm, Amy, and you, John, in the boys'.
Oh, I'm afraid you've leaped to a conclusion. It's only that there's been a mistake.
You went slumming and lost your way, is that it? The museums are, well, Where are the museums, sailor?
The mistake is that you're wearing the tails that I rented for myself.
Look quick, sailor, am I doing that?
The shopkeeper Emilio gave them to this lady by mistake. I brought you another coat. Please exchange it with me.
But John wants to look nice for the party aboard the Huron.
Well, that's where we're going.
Oh.
We'd like to help you, Amy, but it took so much sweat and tears to get Slade into that coat, I doubt
it. Give it to me. It doesn't belong to you.
Hey, what's the matter, Buster? You got the fever?
Take it off.
Hey.
You tore it. What is it with you, school teacher? You got a thing for monkey suits?
John, leave him alone. Let's get out of here.
It'll make you sad, Shannon, not giving me that coat.
John, have you gone out of your mind? Please forgive him. He's... Come, John. The night air will bring you to your senses. I'm afraid John's the excitable type.
You're a fool, Amy. That coat's worth $50,000 to us, and you...
Don't fret, dear. We'll get it. You heard us say they were going to the party. Calm yourself, John. Calm yourself. It'll be gay.
Jeep runs pretty nice, huh, sailor?
Like a doll. There's no other way to go to a formal party. Helter-skelter on a bucket seat. The wind whistling by.
Take your hair out of my eyes, sailor. I'm just trying to figure out why that school teacher wanted this coat. Why he... I wonder what that car is doing parked across the road.
Why don't you just go around him?
Not enough room. Well, maybe he needs some help. Let's find out.
All right. The things a girl has to go through to do a poker. Hey, Slate, that man slumped over the wheel.
Yeah. Hey, mister. Oh, I told you he needed help. Hey, mister, what's wrong with you? Hey, give me a hand with him, sailor.
Wait a minute. Here comes somebody. Maybe he's from this car.
Hello there. You know anything about this man?
Yeah. Purser off the SS Huron, docked this morning.
What's the matter with him?
Dead? Newly dead. Oh, now don't nod your head sadly, people. A bullet did it to him. Got mixed up in a hassle about a coat.
Get back to the car, sailor.
She stays. Offer that coat, mister.
Give it to him, Slate.
Sure.
And I thought I was going to have trouble. You loused my whole evening. Give me the coat.
Here. Here, right in your face. No! You know, sailor, I'm really getting attached to this coat just because so many people want it. Let's go dancing, kid.
Well, we finally made it, Slate. What a nice party.
You couldn't have kept me away. Hey, look, sailor.
Yeah, I see him. John, the school teacher.
He's zeroing in on you. Go dance with him. Find out what makes him so neurotic about rented suits.
What'll you do?
I've got my eye on a little number name of Amy. Hey, she's tricky without the bifocals.
Yeah, she is. Maybe we better all stick together and form a square dance.
Dozy-do on your own time, sailor. Bye now. Care to dance, Amy?
Oh, I'd love it. Where are you?
What?
My own pathetic little joke, Mr. Shannon. I'm so nearsighted without my glasses.
And quite lovely, too. You dance like a girl who it doesn't matter if she wears bifocals.
Oh, when I get home, I'm going to put what you said under my pillow to cherish on the cold winter old maid evenings.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I'll bet when John, the manual training teacher, finds a proper dress suit, he'll marry you like crazy.
It still disturbs you that he wants the one you're wearing?
I met another guy who wanted it. Guy who killed a man just so as I'd stop long enough for him to strip the coat off my back.
Oh, I'm a lucky girl, Slate.
How?
Lucky you're not dead, too. But how long can a girl stay lucky? Whirl me, Slate. Whirl me.
And that's the way my place is furnished, Miss Duval. I made all the furniture myself.
Oh, it's so refreshing to talk to a man who's so handy with a cross-cut saw, Mr. Martin. Especially standing against a ship's rail.
Please, there's something I must ask you.
About a coat.
About just that. How are we going to get that coat from Mr. Shannon?
Oh, Slate'd give it to you if you'd let him know why you want it. Tell me. I'll tell him.
I'm afraid I can't.
Why not? Do I look like a girl who can't be trusted by a manual training teacher?
Sitting here in this deck chair and listening, Martin, I'd say get rid of her. You need me?
Come here, Ross. Recognize this man, Miss Duval?
Sure. He got hit in the face with a coat.
He kills Miss Duval. Don't you, Ross?
It's happened. What about her, Martin?
Take her to the cabin.
Uh-huh.
Keep her alive for a while. Maybe I can trade her for a coat pocket.
Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
This stateroom please you, baby?
I'm trying to make up my mind. Silk drapes, beautiful furniture, crystal chandelier. Tell me something,
Ross, you can call me that. And stay away from that porthole, sis. It don't lead to no place but the ocean.
What's in Slate's coat?
The combination to the ship's safe. The teachers and me are going to knock it over. I only tell you because when it happens, you won't be no place at all.
Can I have my pocketbook?
Sure, take it. I can enjoy watching a lipstick job.
Thanks. You know, a funny thing happened this evening. Slate tore his coat. I mended it for him. And while I was playing nip and tuck with the thimble, something fell out of it. A piece of paper.
Hey, that's what we're after.
A piece of paper with four numbers on it. In two columns. This piece of paper.
The combination. Here, give it to me.
No, you don't. Uh-uh, Ross.
You knucklehead. You tossed it out the porthole. So help me.
How much money in that safe, honey?
Lots. That's why I'm going to blast you where you're standing.
I can remember those numbers, Ross. You need me, honey? Sure you need me. You and me?
Hey, golly. We're mischievous, huh?
Devil may care, honey. Impish.
It's just as the travel folders told me it would be. I stand on a moonlit deck, watch Havana's lights glow in the water, a strong, dangerous man at my side. I found romance on the all-inclusive tour.
And that was pretty, Amy. I'll get poetic about the tail coat I'm wearing. Make it scan why a purser got a bullet through his heart. Why? Well, I didn't even raise my hand. Hi, Teacher John.
You wanted to know why a man was killed?
Yeah, it bothers me.
I'll tell you in simple phrases. He annoyed us. The coat, Mr. Shannon. Take it off. Give it to me.
Ah, you're cruel, Teacher John. I'd catch my death of cold.
The correct usage is you'll catch your death. No descriptive phrases.
Yeah, I always stunk in grammar. Where's Sailor?
I've left her in the hands of a man who makes a specialty of killing. Matriculated in it.
Where is she?
When you've rid yourself of the coat, I'll...
Sure, John boy. I'll rid myself. That's right, teacher. That's what I'll do. Your boyfriend swim, Amy?
Like a fish.
A rackety ray for him. Show me, teacher. Hey, look at him. Fellow could take lessons. Huh?
If you're curious about the feeling in your back... It's a gun, Slate. It'll go away after I've gone through your pockets.
Gee, this is adult education. The things a fella picks up. Tell me what you're looking for, Amy, and we'll play at twosies.
Oh. It's not there. What have you done with it? It's not there.
What's not there?
We've been fools. Idiots. Like children. It's not there.
Oh, don't cry, baby. It's a big world. There must be other fellas' pockets you can frisk. Here, let me hold the gun so you can blow your nose. Then we'll go find Sailor, huh?
You people must have lost your way. The dancing's done.
How'd I do, honey?
I liked it.
Then I did good. Close the door. Hello, you beautiful safe, you. Okay, baby, name the numbers.
Take it easy. Don't get me flustered.
Okay, doll. Numbers. Hey, what was that?
I dropped my purse.
Tough. Tell me numbers.
Let's see.
Come on.
The first number was 16.
Right or left?
I don't know. Just the four numbers on the paper. The first was 16.
We'll try it to the right. 16. Then what?
35.
Okay. 35. And?
22.
Oh, happy, happy day. Right, 22. The last number, honey?
43, I think.
Don't think with me, honey. Not with me. I got a heater says...
43.
That's my baby. Left 43. It don't open, honey. You're gonna die, honey. Right now, honey.
You could have done something wrong.
On a safe? On a saxophone, maybe. Not a safe. Close your eyes, honey.
48.
Eh?
48. That's what the last number was. Not 43.
Well, we'll try. Ooh, money. Take a fistful, lady.
I like it.
Oh, pockets full. Do it. Then we'll tiptoe off this tub like a seafaring Arab.
And drink a toast to a life of crime.
Ain't it fun?
Sit down, Amy.
Why did you bring me here?
Shannon's place has never entertained a schoolteacher like you, dear. Now, I've got you. I'll never let you go.
Because you've fallen in love with me?
Not because you add class to the joint.
You'll keep me?
Only until you tell me what they did with Sailor. After that, it's between us. You know.
You made a mistake, Slate. Now I'll never tell you.
I could twist your arm, slap it out of you.
Try it, Slate. I won't cry out. You'll see. Go on. Try it.
My mom told me never to strike a girl who wears bifocals. Slate Shannon speaking. Yeah. Sure, LaSalle. I'll come to the pokey. Mind if I bring a girl? Aw, oh, now that's sweet of you. Thanks, LaSalle, pal.
You won't take me to the police.
Oh,
well, I won't.
Sure you will, Amy. Because I'll forget what Mom told me if you don't.
This thing of coat snatching, I do not understand, Shannon. It's not in my line.
Try hard, LaSalle. I told you. Manual training fellow walked in with Amy here, tried to tear it off my back. And at the party, Amy pulled a gun on me, then Sailor...
Please, Senor Shannon. What little games you play with yourselves does not concern me.
Oh, you're so perceptive, Senor LaSalle. Hmm? It was only a practical joke John and I were playing. Your topics make us feel like children all over again.
Yeah, I remember. I took the teeth braces off one of you.
Which brings us to the matters of violence. Violence one, the dead purser of the SS Huron.
I phoned him into you.
We will never forget your courtesy. Put in your claim for your nickel. Violence two, the man who was fished out of Havana Harbor with a shrunken suit and a galloping pneumonia.
That would be John Martin. I wish I could have seen him.
And violence three, the violence done to the safe of the ship SS Huron. Done by the hand of Senorita Duval.
You're crazy. Sailor's done a lot of things. Safe cracking's not one of her... Hey, maybe that's one she kept from me. Oh, that girl.
Do not laugh, Shannon. Your Miss Duval is in grave trouble. Her purse was found at the scene of the crime. This purse. It is hers, no?
You can buy one like it in every dollar store in Havana.
It is hers. Everything in it pointed to Senorita Duval. The perfume, the lipstick, the no money, and her name written on every loose piece of paper in the bag.
That's my sailor.
Find her, Shannon. Bring her to us. If we find her first, I will not answer for the consequence to her. Adios, senor. Senorita.
There's Ross's place beyond the pier. He's there all right. The lights are on.
Come on, I'll give you a hand out of the boat. You understand why I let you bring me here, don't you?
Because your girlfriend robbed a safe and ran out on you.
With a thug you hired. I want to see the man about a girl, and you want to see him about some money. That makes us friends for life.
Your teacher's pet, Slate.
I'll clap your blackboard erasers sometime.
Well, if it ain't Amy and Shannon, come on in.
You been expecting us, Ross?
Sure. The fireplace is all aflame and the refreshments are ready. Come in, honey cake. Our guests are here.
Hi, Slate. Cozy, isn't it? Hi, Amy.
Where's the money?
In four neat bundles. You, her, and me. To each a bundle.
What about John?
It's been bandied about. He's too wet to handle money.
That's right. You know, the rumor's liable to get around that he killed that purser.
Let's see the money.
Get it, honey cake.
Anything you say, Boopsie. Everybody stand in line.
This is a new sailor.
Boopsie showed me how to get fun out of life. All you have to do is know numbers, open a safe, and the money just spills out at you. The things my Boopsie knows.
Boopsie, my arm on your shoulder, my hand in yours. You're a better man than I am.
Don't reach for anything, just the dough.
Something bothers me about this, Slate.
What?
All that money. It doesn't have to be shared so many ways. Does it, Ross?
What are you talking about? Amy, don't be crazy. You can...
There's your new fellow, Miss Duval. Weep. That's all I'll give you.
Now, take it easy, Amy.
We came here for this, Slate.
Look, you don't have to shoot me. You can have my part of the money.
Mine, too. Four bundles. You can have all of them. Here.
Half is yours, Slate.
No, here. Take. I said take it.
Oh!
Get it out of the fire, Amy.
Oh, my money. It'll burn. Oh, please help me. Help me get my money.
Yeah, just let me have that gun. Come on, Amy.
Oh, it'll burn.
No, it won't.
Thanks for the gun.
Tell her not to break her heart, Slate. The dough's just toasted. Here. Here. Now you can get me out of here.
You burn your hands?
My fingernail polish is running.
That's tough. Let me ask you something. You dropped that pocketbook because you wanted someone to look for you, didn't you?
I knew you'd find me.
Let's go home. You've been gone a long time.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
That was The Black Tie Affair from Bold Venture here on the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society podcast. Once again, I'm Eric.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Joshua.
And that came to us from a mysterious Patreon family. Tell me more, Joshua, about this mysterious family.
Well, they are fans of the podcast. Jeff and Christy are at every Mysterious Old Patron book club.
Than I do.
Yeah. They attend most of our shows. If you go to patreon.com/themorals, which you should, the picture of the three of us on that page was taken by Christy.
Oh.
This was also something that Christy worked with her father to select the best bold venture they could for our discussion.
Her father has a lot to say about bold venture, I believe, in the email, right?
Yeah. Tom specifically emailed asking us to discuss the chemistry between Bogart and Bacall, who are, of course, famous for their on-screen chemistry. Does that translate to radio? How
right.
different is that? Which I thought was a really fascinating question.
I will start by telling you I can talk about their chemistry in this radio show, but I've seen The Big Sleep once, 100 years ago. It was great. I just haven't gotten around to it again. I saw Dark Passage once, 100 years ago. I know I've not seen To Have and Have Not. And Key Largo is a vague memory right now. But I am well aware of who Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart are. I will tell you that my connection to Bogart is Casablanca, Maltese Falcon, and my connection to the two of them is Bold Venture. That's really my beginnings with them. I'm not so much a expert on the movies. I know more about their private life than I do about their movies.
A little creepy.
Yeah. There's no doubt that in the Bold Venture radio shows, their chemistry is flawless and effortless.
I'm kind of in the same boat. It's been a long, long time since I've seen any of these movies to be able to specifically point to a specific moment in one of the films that, like, that's, you know, to compare it. But my memory is that they are both incredibly charismatic, and in this series, mm-hmm. they are incredibly charismatic, and when the two of them are interacting, it's just like, I go order dinner and I'd like to listen to that and anything.
I'll say this about Bold Venture in general and relating to chemistry. This is not a critique. Bold Venture is somewhat formulaic. I know there's elements to it that aren't like anything else, but I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Storytelling, you know, this happened, that happened, we're going to get the guy, we got the guy. You know what I mean? Like that kind of formulaic. The deal is that if you didn't have Bacall and Bogart, I really don't think it would be as enjoyable, successful, or anything I would listen to. Point being is Bacall and Bogart are everything to this show, as far as I'm concerned. So how's that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to disagree with that Bogart and Bacall put this over, obviously mm-hmm. having them in it and everything they bring to it. But what I really appreciate about it is the rest of it doesn't have to be as good as it is, but they still went out of their
sure.
way to get Fine and Freaking to write these scripts,
yep.
which their dialogue just crackles. It's
yep.
just nonstop wit
mm-hmm.
flying around. They write scenes and approach characters, as we've noted when we've listened to their other series, Crime Classics. They also did Broadway as My Beat, but they approach scenes in this very interesting way. Scenes that could, in another script, just be a perfunctory info dump scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like early in this one, when the school teacher is talking to the purser from the ship and trying to get the combination from him. And there's that dripping faucet
yeah.
in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And it just adds all this tension that just didn't need to be there. And it's just that extra zip that those two always give to a scene like that.
I was also having that sort of, these two stars are so good. How do I feel about everything else in this story that it's not them? And I was trying to put my finger on what those feelings were. And eventually it struck me that what was a little elusive to me is this story, unlike most, is one of those where the heroes are not the protagonists. It's similar, not exactly the same, like to Columbo. They're not trying to do anything. They're the obstacles. It's the bad guys who are trying to do something. And that's fun, and it's
mm-hmm.
different.
You can look at it the other way, too, though. They are protagonists trying to do something, but not anything exciting. They just want to go on a date.
Well,
so,
yeah. I would say like the action of the story is this safe cracking.
Yes. But mm-hmm. I think it's also interesting that the stakes as a listener, to me at least, is the romance. And on the subject of chemistry, one, if you're really familiar with the movies, you're just theater of the mind just supplies
yeah.
those images. So they bring To Have and Have Not, they bring The Big Sleep into this radio show. But also, without that visual, a lot of the age gap disappears because
that's true.
Bacall has just that smoky, gravelly voice that could be a 40-something-year-old, right? Like, so when you take away the visuals, it's her whole persona. It's the way she carries herself. It's the way she speaks. I think all that speaks to why that 25-year age gap, even in a film, is less distressing, because mm-hmm. she seems like a 45-year-old trapped in a uncomfortably attractive 19-year-old's body.
That doesn't, you don't read the vibe of, oh, somebody needs to be looking out for her.
Yes. And she was likely pregnant while doing these radio shows. I think that was one of the reasons that she wasn't doing as many films at that time, too.
Oh.
So this was something they could do together.
I thought for a second, because you can tell by her voice, she sounds a little pregnant. Yeah.
She sounds like she has to pee constantly.
That's why they call her Sailor.
One of the other things that I think is great about this, and it's in the script, is how it starts with this very stereotypical gendered romance scenario where the tough guy doesn't want to put on the monkey suit and go to the party, but his beautiful girlfriend wants to wear a pretty dress and be seen. And it, as soon as Sailor shows up, all those stereotypes are swapped. She uses what would be stereotypical male tactics to get Bogart to go. She talks about things like, I'm going to throw you over my shoulder and just take you.
Right.
This sort of display of strength. But then she just uses flattery. She says like, oh, you'd look so slim in that suit. And then we already have that line earlier about how she says it's a size 42. And he's like, I'm a 38. So he's already self-conscious. And then as they're getting ready to go, you get that other swap of she's all ready to go. And it is Slate, who's preening in front of the mirror, and she's getting impatient waiting for him. And it's just delightful. It's very small, but it's she just takes control the second she walks into a scene all throughout this.
There was the small detail in there as well that I appreciated of, it's not that he doesn't want to go to this party. It's that when he gets this invitation, he sells them. And he's like, I need the money.
Right.
He's extremely practical, and that's what I like about it. And again, that's where I think it's interesting about the stakes, is that at least earlier in the story, you get the idea, even after they find a murdered guy in a car, he's just determined to go to this party because Sailor thinks he looks good in this suit.
Right.
And he's not giving it to anybody. He doesn't care how many dead bodies pile up. He's going to the party looking attractive for Sailor.
I took it similarly, parallel, but the more people want this coat from him, the more he's... It is in his character, like, no one's taking this coat from me. My coat.
Yeah, it's an interesting moment at the top where you have to buy into the character of what's established by Bogart in this show. Because I think 95% of the people on this planet, when approached, would go, oh, yeah, sorry, here, have your jacket. Why would you be a jerk about it? He had a legitimate story about that jacket was his and there was a mistake made. And you just, I see that. And said, well, no, it looks good on me, so no. And maybe it's just me, but I can't ever fathom someone coming at me doing that and standing my ground and going, no, you're lost. I would be, oh, sure, of course, here.
Hey, Eric. Give me your pants.
Stop giving me your pants. But if you had Lauren McCall saying, I just got you into those pants, you are not getting out of them.
Right.
Yeah, you'd stay on your ground.
But, you know, the character that's established, you go, oh, yeah, totally. He would. Oh, you want something from me? No.
Or, yeah, as was said later, like, tell him why. It's a done deal. He'll give you the jacket. But
right.
If it's just, give me the jacket, no.
Yep.
There are so many great moments in this. One of them is a nice twist, is the realization that Sailor found the combination, and she takes complete control of that scene by throwing it out the window, mm-hmm. and now she is the thing of value. So her life is no longer in danger while she can negotiate with this thug, who's also written...
Yeah, he's
a highly entertaining way. When they finally crack the safe and he says, ooh, money, 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 money.
Yes.
And to the credit of both the actor as well as the script, he never loses his sense of being threatening while still being funny.
Yeah, or when he's totally playing fair with, like, you help me, you get a share, you're going to get a share for your buddy there. He's still scary.
Yeah. And you did not see the school teacher becoming the dangerous person at the end who pulls the gun on him. She's going to be the one who's not going to split it. And again, we get Sailor just being the hardest of the hard-boiled of any of them, who just plucks the money out of the fire, throws it at her, and says, take it. We're going home to have sex. It's basically the ending of this.
But as someone who does need bifocals, although it's the, I can't remember the proper term, but the not hard line bifocals, you know, the more moderate bifocals.
The cool bifocals, yes, just say it.
Did not sound credible as a bifocals wearer. Like, you're drawing too much attention to your glasses. A real bifocals wearer would not talk so much about them.
You have to establish the whole sexy school teacher thing. Like, if I remove my bifocals, I am now incredibly attractive.
Wait,
just
if
like
I remove my bifocals right now, am I incredibly? Hang on 1 second.
No, we would just realize you're Superman. It works differently with men.
Well, ooh, you're both very blurry.
Where did Tim go? That's weird. You say sexy school teacher, and every time that term comes up, Adamant Goody Two Shoes video.
Oh.
I may have touched somebody.
Whoa.
I may have.
Put your pants back on, Eric.
I may have connected with maybe two of our listeners who go, oh, yeah, that video.
I would have thought the possibly more upsetting one would be Van Halen's Hot for Teacher. But
yeah, that's second on the list, but for some reason, Goody Two Shoes, Adamant. Sorry, Mysterious Family. We're talking about Adamant.
Losing the Mysterious Families.
There are also some great audiovisual moments in here. Just the way things are described when Sailor's talking about something along the lines, this is the only way to go to a party, helter-skelter on the front seat of a Jeep or whatever. She's describing the wind in your hair, and Bogart says, get your hair out of my eyes.
Right.
Like that. And so you see them then in that image of the hair blowing in his face and he's pushing it away. It's just a nice bit of dialogue that's not forced, but really paints a picture. The other sound effect moment that struck me is, which is a great moment, he's just written out of the script at that point when Slate just tosses John, the school teacher, overboard. And he's just done. He's just out of the story.
Yep.
It tells you how huge this boat is because the splash is really distant and sounds really small. Like he dropped a long way
down. Ocean liner.
Yes.
Right.
A beautiful moment.
A beautiful moment, that death of that man plunging five stories.
I thought they pulled him out alive.
Oh, did they?
Oh, they did. He's not dead.
They said his clothes had shrunk, and then he was too wet to get a share.
There's another great line when the police officer identifies the purse by what's in it, and he's like, lipstick, handkerchief, no money.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, he's going to list of violence of, you know, I called it into you. You can get your nickel at the...
Yeah.
Fill out the paperwork for your nickel, Bogart. Yeah, the dialogue is just great throughout. It's so refreshing to talk to a man who's so handy with a crosscut saw, and that is only suggestive sounding in the mouth of Lauren Bacall.
That sentence alone was suggestive.
Bogart has a great line when he says, here, let me hold the gun so you can blow your nose. To list them all would be too much. But I love how Slate will not stop rubbing in that they're school teachers, because clearly he cues in to the fact that they are trying to escape this life or want to be tougher than that. When he says things like, gee, I didn't even raise my hand, and I'm getting some real adult education here. I'll clap your blackboard eraser sometime.
Yeah, that one was like, that's...
Had you listened to a Bold Venture before this, Joshua?
No, I've listened... Well, yes. No, yes. Yes, but not many. I've listened to the first two because I'm that nerd who's like, I'm going to start at the beginning of this.
Right.
And then I don't get any farther than the first couple and then go back and start over. So I end up listening to the first couple episodes of a lot of radio series. But I will say this, that their performance is far livelier, far warmer than the first couple, which are well written, but they sound more phoned in and canned, almost like they recorded at different times. And by this episode, this is about halfway, quarter of the way through. It's episode 26, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They sound like they're having fun. And it sounds like Bacall's having more fun. That seems appropriate.
You could say that about everything Bogart does.
Yeah.
Everybody's having more fun.
Yeah. So all throughout this, she seems less emotionally needy than Slate, even. Like, she just has the upper hand throughout. Mm-hmm. Like, emotionally, for, like, what's going on in the plot. It's great fun. Should we send it to the vote?
Yeah, absolutely. I like all the Bold Ventures I've listened to, about a dozen of them, and I'm on my way to trying to listen to all of them. I've never heard one I don't like. Consequently, the vote is easy for me. I think Bold Venture not only stands the test of time, for sure. I think they're the straightforward, great action-adventure storytelling, as we've mentioned. The production values are great. There's nothing to not like about them. They're great shows. To the point of stand the test of time, I'm always shocked when I listen to one of these that no one has come up with the idea to turn these into a modern day, can we say, television show, because it doesn't exist anymore.
Well, as a streaming show.
Yeah. I think first of all, it's got a great name. Bold Ventures a great name. Yeah. Second, it's a great premise, and I don't know why people aren't doing it. I not only say it stands the test of time. Will I say it's a classic? No, because there's no standout in Bold Venture as far as I can tell. It's like, oh, that one's so much better than this one. They're all really good. So is it a classic of all-time radio? Yes, in the sense that Bold Venture as a series is a classic series of old-time radio. So I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I have not one qualm with one nanosecond of listening to that. Nothing. I loved it.
Yeah, I think it certainly stands the test of time. Bogart and McCall just reinforced that they are individually great performers. Together, their chemistry is fantastic. They're both having a lot of fun and doing great work. The series itself, I don't know if they are all structured like this, but seem to have this interesting other reverse structure than your standard sort of we're in a different country having adventures. I think the one thing that works against this series is the fact that the movies they were in together are so iconic. You bring the baggage in of everything else you know them from, which makes it even more enjoyable. Of like, yay, it's more of this. But then it's also, but it's not Key Largo, because Key Largo's awesome.
Yeah, I agree pretty much with everything you guys already said. It is definitely historically interesting. Because, as we pointed out in the intro, this represents the vast majority of their work together, Bogart and Bacall, of these 70-some radio shows, 50-some of which are available today. And so it's significant for that reason. And, I mean, it's just so fun and sharp and witty. The performance is everything. I'll go back to underscoring again what I said earlier. It didn't have to be this good to be successful, because it just needed to be Bogart and Bacall. They could have phoned everything else in, and they didn't. They had great talent that they hired to write it and to direct it and produce it. So, I agree with Eric. The whole series is a classic. They're so uniformly good, at least what I have heard thus far, that it's hard to say, this is the best one, but maybe I'll find that classic within the classic series. But this was great fun.
The one where they fight the thing on the horrible board.
Oh, that one's good.
It really stands the test of time, too. There's almost nothing to me dated about this. This
right.
is really, if anything, forward-thinking in a lot of its portrayal of these characters.
Yeah,
in
I think that's
time.
Part of why you were saying like this could easily be a streaming show right now, because it sounds so contemporary.
It's ready.
Yeah, and even the stuff with King Moses, there's such warmth and humor between him and Slate. Like, this is diegetic music that he's singing. He's teasing Slate with these songs, and Slate's laughing with him. Like, there's no, like, discomfort there where, like, he's his manservant.
They're in Cuba. They got a Cuban guy singing Cuban songs.
It's fantastic.
Get on it, Hulu. Tim, tell him stuff.
Hulu. Please go visit ghoulishdelights.com. That is the home of this podcast. You'll find other episodes there. When you go there, you can vote in polls. Let us know what you think about these episodes. You can leave comments. You can send us messages. You can also link to our social media pages. You can link to our Threadless store if you want to check out some swag. We have some new material. Our mysterious listener, Tim, set us up with the long-awaited Fish with Teeth t-shirt and the Death to Carrots t-shirt, as well as a new Get to the Castle t-shirt.
I didn't know that.
They're really good.
It's pretty awesome.
I'm learning about this now.
It is like the first professional level thing this podcast has ever done.
I'm going to go right now while you're talking, Joshua.
Yes, and then also, as to segue into what Joshua was going to say, you can also from the website go to our Patreon page.
Yes, go to patreon.com/themorals and please support this podcast. We have all sorts of great benefits if you do. Extra bonus podcasts. We have book clubs that we do. You could meet Christy and Jeff, for example. They're all the time. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make
you
like
prostituting out our listeners. You guys, we have many other people you like.
The Morals brand ambassadors, Christy and Jeff. it comes just with a title, no money. And speaking of money, we are still making our pitch for extra donations outside of Patreon. If that doesn't work for you to become a patron and you don't want to give money monthly and it just sounds like a big complicated pain, you could just give us an exciting one-time donation by going to ghoulishdelights.com and hitting the donate button. And that money is going to go to some new technology that we are in need of. This computer is needing an upgrade pretty badly here. So if you want to do that, that would be so great. Thank you.
Look at these t-shirts. These are awesome. I'm ordering these. Hey, if you want to see us performing live, the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society Theater Group, we perform classic recreations of old-time radio shows and a lot of our own original work. We perform somewhere monthly for almost 7 years. Sometimes we were performing more than once a month. You can find out what we're performing, when we're performing, where we're performing by going to ghoulishdelights.com or mysteriousoldradiolisteningsociety.com. There you can find out where to come see us and how to purchase tickets and see us do radio shows. Or if you can't make it, then you should become a Patreon, because we film them and then you get that as part of your Patreon perks. You get to see our live shows, the filming of them. What are we doing next?
Next is my pick, and we will be listening to Murderous Revision from Suspense. Until then,
look out!
Hey, she's tricky without the bifocals.
Yeah, she is. Maybe we better all stick together and form a square dance.
Dozy-do on your own time, sailor. Bye now.
With the heartbreak open, so much.
Care to dance, Amy?
Well, I'd love it. Where are you?
What?
My own pathetic little joke, Mr. Shannon. I'm so nearsighted without my glasses.
Quite lovely, too. You dance like a girl, or it doesn't matter if she wears bifocals.
No, when I get home, I'm going to put what you said under my pillow to cherish on the cold winter old maid evenings.